It's not playing with Lex and Dan.
Welcome back again to Not Playing, the podcast where two people whose names you do not know are watching movies that many people have seen but they have not seen. I am one of those people, Dan, and I'm joined by the other person, Lex. Hi, Lex.
I'm a person. Hi.
Congratulations on being a person.
Thank you. I'm very proud.
It's been a long time for you. Well, this is our season 10 in which we are watching baseball-themed movies.
It's been a home run so far.
More of a bunt. We have watched Bull Durham. We've seen The Natural. We've seen 8 Men Out. We saw Major League last time. And now we're jumping forward a bit. I think all those movies were from like the 80s so far. So now we're jumping forward a couple decades.
Wow.
To watch the movie Fever Pitch. Lex, tell me what you know about this movie.
I know a couple things. I know Jimmy Fallon.
You know Jimmy Fallon?
I know Drew Barrymore.
You know Drew Barrymore?
Mm-hmm. I do. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever met either one of them. No, I have not. But I know they're in it. I know it's a comedy. I spoiled myself and discovered that it's a Farrelly Brothers movie, which I did not know before.
Mm.
But the Farrelly Brothers are hit and miss for me. Like, as you know, I love comedy. I love stupid comedy. And I believe the Farrelly Brothers are also the team behind There's Something About Mary, a movie I truly love so much. It just hit me right in my perfect funny spot. I don't like when they go too crude, but I'm hard-pressed to believe that Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore would have gone like super crude. I don't know. So I'm curious to see if this is more like the romantic comedy side of stupid, silly comedy, or if it's more the There's Something About Mary gross outside. And I like There's Something About Mary, but sometimes I feel like they don't get the balance right, so I'm curious.
They mainly saved it for their follow-up to this movie, Super Crude. I can add some things to that, which
have
is...
Have you seen this movie?
I have not. I have not seen this movie. However, it is based on a book which was previously made into a movie, and I have seen that movie. The original book, Fever Pitch, is by Nick Hornby, who wrote High Fidelity.
Big fan.
It is I want to say at least sort of semi-autobiographical. I don't remember if I have read the book or not, but I've watched the original movie, which stars Colin Firth, because my mother is a huge Colin Firth fan, so I've seen many Colin Firth movies.
If you're not Firth, you're Lath.
And it's about soccer in that version, but they adapted it for America about baseball. It also takes place, this will maybe be a spoiler, but famously, they filmed it in Boston. It's about, about the Red Sox, and they filmed it in 2004, which happened to be the year that the Red Sox won the World Series for the first time in 86 years, and I believe they changed the ending as a result of that.
I actually have similar recollections. I also am realizing that I'm partially confusing this movie, which I have not seen, with, I think, another Drew Barrymore starring film called Never Been Kissed, where I believe that she's a teacher, and the culmination is somebody runs out on a baseball field to kiss her in front of all the students or something like that.
Oh, well, that I couldn't tell you. I've never seen... I don't think I've ever seen
But I do feel like that is some thrilling conclusion at some point.
I am not a particular... Like, I admire Drew Barrymore. I think she has, you know, been around in this business a long time and does a lot of good acting work, but I would never say she's been like one of my go-to favorites. And Jimmy Fallon has not had a huge movie career for reasons that I think will probably become apparent. He seems to have found his niche, and that's fine for him. I'm not a huge Jimmy Fallon fan.
Yeah, I would say I'm not either. I would say I'm a fan of Drew Barrymore in certain kinds of comedies. Like, I think that she is so good in the kind of role that she does in The Wedding Singer, for example.
A movie I haven't seen.
And also in 50 First Dates.
Also haven't seen
definitely
that.
I mean, Wedding Singer is a better one. But I get annoyed at any script where it's like, I forget, there's like a term for it, but like when you're the certain kind of ingenue, manic pixie girl.
Manic, I don't know, pixie something. Dream girl.
Yeah. But I feel like she often does the work to have her characters not just exist, but be funny themselves. And I like that.
I think the only movie I can think of off the top of my head that I have seen her in was the Charlie's Angels.
I feel like you probably saw E.T. at some point.
Well, yeah. I meant like in recent, I think I watched, is it Ever After?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've seen that. I think my wife, we picked that once for one of our movie nights. I only vaguely remember it.
Yeah, I feel like, did Drew Barrymore star on that? She did. She starred on Santa Clarita Diet, which it's shocking to me that you continue to not watch.
I'm just not a zombie person.
But it's got that guy you love.
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
I do love him. I do love him deeply. I feel like we've gone on longer than we usually go on in these intros. So we should get to the movie. But before we do that, we should tell our delightful listeners out there how they can enjoy watching this movie right along with us. And that is by becoming a member of The Incomparable. If you go to theincomparable.com/members, you can sign up for a membership plan. There are a variety of different offerings, but all of them come with some great features, including bootleg episodes that are released before they've been edited, special members-only content, and access to our members' Discord, which is a lot of fun. And among those various pieces of members-only content, you can find all of the commentary tracks from all 10 seasons of Not Wow. Playing, in which you can watch a ton of movies along with me and Lex. You can sync up the commentary to the movie itself and enjoy our chat as we go through. And as Lex likes to point out, we don't talk over the movie. We're not like chatterboxes going on and on. We like to watch the movie and enjoy it and just add a little commentary when we think we can. So if that sounds like an experience that you would enjoy, please go sign up for theincomparable.com/members.
You would enjoy it. I feel like I know you. You will enjoy it.
Yeah, I know. You can even choose to give a little money directly to us, which we appreciate because we've been doing this for 10 years.
Wow. So, yeah, we have now seen it. What did you think, Dan?
Oh, man. I'm not going to say...
Produced by Alan Greenspan. Was it produced by that? No, it's not how he spells it. Okay.
It's probably strong to say I hated this movie. I don't think I hated it. I liked the Red Sox stuff. I hated Jimmy Fallon. Drew Barrymore yeah. was fine. I just don't think I'm a Farrelly Brothers fan in part, and I feel like this, you know...
Honestly, that's my biggest issue with this movie is that it didn't even feel like a Farrelly Brothers movie. Like, it wasn't funny enough. I felt like, in some ways, they couldn't decide what they wanted it to be. But there were several moments that really did make me laugh, but there was a lot that was just not funny at all.
Well, I think part of it was also just like, I'm not really rooting for for Jimmy Fallon's character here.
Yeah.
He kind of seems awful. Like, there's some parts that I liked where, like, they were kind of doing some interesting things with, you know, him having to essentially give up his streak. I feel like in a different, slightly, some tweaks to writing in a different actor, maybe I would have felt more sympathetic
yep.
to him. But he was just so, I don't know what the word is, off-putting?
Unlikable?
Yeah, yeah. I think it is. I don't think he's the right person for this role at all.
And that's just it. Like, I think it's a really tough role.
Yes, I agree.
Because I'm never going to root for this person. We know that they're going to end up together because it's a romantic comedy and it's got certain beats that it has to hit. But, like, he is crappy. And to find somebody who is going to be really good at that role, I feel like is really hard. I know you and I were talking about as we watched it, like, who could play this that would be likable? And I said Dom Hanks. And you're like, well, that's a very different movie. He's probably too old at the time they were making yes. this movie. But it's got to be somebody who can make you still root for him, like want you to see him yes. figure it out.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon can't do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, as I mentioned, I've seen the original movie version, in which it's Colin Firth playing a soccer fan. He's obsessed right. with Arsenal. And I feel like he was more likable. Not to say that he didn't have the, you know, the same similar challenges, but I think that he's more likable. And it is about learning to grow up, right? And learning to let go of things that you maybe loved as a kid. And like you can still like, but it doesn't have to, you know, take over your life. And I feel right. like that message is fine. I just don't believe that he will actually stick to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just have to imagine they're going to have this fight forever. Like, it doesn't feel like it's happily ever after.
Right. Exactly. It's so depressing. It's so depressing to think about that. Like, you think, like, this movie is what, almost 20 years old? Like, do you think that couple is still together 20 years later?
No.
No, I don't either. No.
But I actually thought Drew Barrymore was great. I think that, like, a constant problem to me with the Farrelly brothers is that they do write a certain kind of woman who is always beautiful and fun. Like, to me, the shortcut they take here is like, she's drinking a beer. Look how cool she is. It's a lady drinking a beer. And it's right. like, they go very tropey on these things. And her character was a little bit hard for me to quite understand. Like, I'm still unclear on what she does, exactly what that job is. That involves geometry.
Yeah, it's math. It's numbers. She's a spreadsheet.
Right. But I don't know. She gets some very funny lines. Jimmy Fallon had a couple, but he's just not good. He's not believable, and he's not likable, which is a really bad 1-2 punch. And they even kind of made me... you and I were both excited to see... I lost the actor's name.
Willie Garson.
And they even kind of found ways to make him unlikable.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, none of the friends were really likable on either side.
Yeah.
Which is also a struggle. And they also were very much caricatures.
Yeah,
really
trophy
thin.
One-note
characters.
Yeah,
they were really thin. So that was hard to get sort of into it. I mean, I think the things I liked the best were just sort of the setting. Mostly shot in Boston. All the stuff with the Red Sox games. Like the crowd at the Red Sox games I enjoyed. All the like the Red Sox family. I kind of
liked
them.
Yeah, the Red Sox family fans were way better characters
than
the
outside
friends.
Yeah, I thought those were... And that's because they're caricatures, but it's okay. We know they're caricatures. They're there to be caricatures, right?
Like, but they also felt deeper.
Yes.
Like they all hinted some backstory and some life. Like the only backstory is Willie Garson is like clearly secretly gay, and that's a punchline at this time in this movie.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Yeah, I struggle a lot with this because the story of this particular series and like the Red Sox winning the World Series after 86 years and beating the Yankees to do it, like it's an epic story. It's a really great, like narratively, I remember watching this at the time and thinking like you could not write, it would not be believable if you wrote a story about a sports team doing this.
And it's so I know that the whole time we watched it, I was making references to the Eagles because that's how I compare sports. That's like my go-to thing.
It's a benchmark, yeah.
And I felt emotion for the Red Sox as they had that 4-game comeback against the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, I felt it. And I remembered the emotional feel of, like, because the Eagles' one Super Bowl winning season was also a bonker story where their quarterback went down with an injury and they had a backup who like was not that good come in and get them through the playoffs, get them to the Super Bowl, and then win the Super Bowl against Tom Brady, including like doing a crazy fake play that people talk about as probably the best trick play in any Super Bowl ever. And I was remembering that emotional feel of watching that. And to me, the emotion is like doubled because it's one, like the emotion of the actual thing. And I felt it for Red Sox and their fans. But it's also like, to me at least, some of it is the insanity of the emotion, which
sure,
Jimmy Fallon's
yeah.
character does try to get to. Like, why do I care? Like, when he's... I appreciate the scene, even though it was way too tritely written. But like, he sees some of the actual Red Sox players at dinner, and he's like, yeah, they can lose the game and then just go on with their lives. And it's not the only thing in their lives. And I appreciate what sports do. I appreciate how people can get excited about professional sports. I think that Jimmy Fallon's character is sick in this movie, and it becomes an addiction. But I appreciate the joy that sports can give, while also every time I get excited or depressed about the Eagles, I'm like, why does this matter to me at all?
Right. Yeah, I think there's an interesting movie in having somebody who is very into it, and also the attempts to play it so over the top with his apartment and with that one like scene where he's on TV in Florida. To me, it's just so far. It goes so much into the absurdism of it,
right,
and surreality of it that I kind of lose the ability to even be sympathetic in any way because he just seems like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Whereas I think there are plenty of people who are very, very into it who don't take it to that level that this would still be an interesting story to deal with. Like, how do you deal with these different parts of your life? Growing up and getting and changing priorities and like dealing with that like evolution. And I think part of the problem is, as we discussed, like even though he does come around at the end, like Jimmy Fallon never quite loses the child part of the man child thing, right? Like he still feels kind of childish. And so, yeah, I struggled with that. I thought her getting hit in the face with the baseball was sort of, I don't know, dumb. Played for a laugh that's not funny, really.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, like, I didn't even mind the parts where she's like taking the computer to the game and like trying to work while she's at the game. Like, I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, again, the tension, the dynamic of like, I'm into this thing, but you're not into this thing, right? Like, that is an adult thing that many people struggle with in relationships, is like, I am super excited about this thing and I want you to be excited about it too, because then we can bond over it, but clearly you're not as into it. So, you know, seeing that dramatized, I think, is interesting, but they felt like that's not enough. We need to amp it to like 12. And that's the parts I struggle with, is like, it's just, I don't know. I rolled my eyes at a lot of it.
Yeah, it's like, I think that there was a good movie to be made here and they just didn't make it. Like, it's...
Yeah, I don't disagree.
They didn't do enough with I mean, this isn't Titanic, where you know when you start the movie that the ship's going to sink. But it's still a romantic comedy, and you know the plot going in, and you know what's going to happen. So to do that, like, the story can't be how are they going to find their way back to each other and have the, like, I get that they want to have this big moment where Drew Barrymore runs across Fenway Park. Okay, fine. But the... You have to do more with, and they want it to be a dumb comedy too, I guess. But like, you have to do more with the narrative arc or the growth or change of these humans. Like, Jimmy Fallon has kind of his realization of I should care more about her in dumb ways at dumb times,
yes,
and in ways that go like almost unnoticed. It's just, and a lot of, like, there's almost, you can see that they are good writers here in that. The way they show the passage of time and the way we see, like, without having to do like a montage, we see, hey, there's been some time has passed, like their relationship has progressed, or yeah, they now know each other. But like, then it just gets so sloppy and hackneyed, and it's like it feels phoned in all the way through.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. Like, it does feel very paint by numbers. There's a lot of it that I just felt very disengaged with. It's like, all right, this is the scene where the friends have this conversation, or this is the scene where they try to talk him out of this thing, or this is the scene where this is going to happen. So I didn't really feel very sympathetic. I felt like a lot of the other, you know, we talked about some of the side characters a little bit, like I did not find them interesting. There's too many of them and I don't find them interesting. The whole thing with his teaching is given really short shrift. There's like two scenes in the entire movie where he's actually working, again, where it's like there's no balance in his life. And I guess that's, again, the point that they're trying to get to. But also, he needs to hold down a job. You can't make a living going to Red Sox games.
Even though they were his uncle's tickets, like, now he's paying for them, right? Like, somebody's still paying money for these tickets.
Yes, and they're not cheap. Yeah. So apparently, I was looking at the production notes. Gwyneth Paltrow was originally cast. Mm.
Then she met Jimmy Fallon.
However, Paltrow found the script mediocre and turned down the role. It's like, you're not wrong, Gwyneth. They went through several directors before they ended on the Fairly Brothers. It was supposed to be Sean Levy at first. And then they went through a bunch of other people. I like that at one point, Mira Nair was a rumored character to direct this. It's like, this is not...
Well, did
not
the Fairly Brothers write it also?
I don't believe so. It was written by, because I saw the names, Lowell Gans and Bablu Mundell.
Oh,
who have written a bunch of stuff. I mean, so they wrote... Splash, Parenthood, City Slickers, League of Their Own, right? Like,
right, no,
those are not bad writers.
They're the real deal. I was gonna say they do a whole lot of stuff with Billy Crystal, which indeed they do. But yeah, this,
I feel like maybe this was not entirely their, like, I don't know. It feels very much like this is the, you know, the directors maybe did some stuff in rewrites and things like that.
Right. But this, I would not expect any better script if you ask ChatGPT to write the storyline for this kind of a movie. That's how paint by numbers it feels.
Yeah, right. It leans too hard on all the setting and everything, right? It kind of, rather than having a personality of its own, it kind of feels like it leans on like the, oh, we're shooting all this in Boston and in Fenway and against the backdrop of this season. And the relationship between them really is just super boring compared to that, to my mind.
Right, because they she likes him despite the fact that he is not likable, so it immediately
exactly, I'm checked out, right? Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, would have liked for it to be better, but
yeah,
not really my thing, I guess.
Yeah, but I did like the fans at the baseball stadium, and I liked I thought Drew Barrymore did a nice job with a crappy script.
Yeah, she does fine. Again, I'm not... I don't think, for whatever reason, I don't always enjoy her performances.
Because you're a monster?
No, I think she plays down a little bit, is the thing. Like, and I get it. Like, I understand it's kind of that part of... You mentioned that, like, having a beer, and, like, she's cool. And it's like, I feel like she plays self-effacing too much. And for me, that just doesn't... I don't know. I feel embarrassed, like, by proxy, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I just don't... I don't enjoy that particular shtick. And so I think that's one of the things I struggle with, like the getting hit with the baseball and the, you know, can't get the shoe on and falling asleep and all this stuff. Like, she does a lot of the physical comedy stuff that ends up just making me feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I get that by proxy. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm embarrassed now, so I don't want to see this.
And part of this is, I think, why I was saying before that I feel like this movie, and knowing that the Farrelly brothers didn't write it helps, because it feels like it doesn't know what it wants to be.
Yeah.
Because, like, it has a couple of those slapstick moments, but they don't actually get played slapsticky, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
right.
We don't see, like, we see the baseball hit almost like in the background, kind of.
Right.
And, like, we see her after she's already passed out. The vomiting happens off screen. I'm perfectly fine with the vomiting happening off screen, but, like, it's it seems to struggle to find the right tone.
Agreed. Yeah.
Ends up succeeding on none of them.
Yay! Well, what a great way to miss out there.
But Dan, here's the good news. There's more baseball movies out there, aren't there?
There are more baseball movies. There's more fish in the baseball sea, Lex.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what random.org, who bring the random to us, are going to suggest for our next movie. And I'll see how we like it. Okay. I don't know much about this movie. It's a fairly recent, I think it's the most recent movie on our list, potentially, or at least one of them, is a movie
now
called...
I'm trying to guess what it could be. Oh, go ahead, tell me.
Is a movie called Everybody Wants Some.
Literally never heard of it.
Yeah, it is a, I think, a smaller movie from a few years ago. And there's some things I've heard some good things about it, and I'm kind of interested to check it out. So we're going to put that on our list for next time. And hopefully we'll pick up after this one. I think we've had, just looking back at our movies this season, like I think we've had a tough go of it.
Well, yeah. I mean... This is the dumbest analogy, but you and the listeners can go on a quick little journey with me. Roughly 1,000 years ago, there was some website that probably doesn't even exist anymore that was having a songwriting contest, and amateurs could enter, and I was in this contest, and part of the judges and part of the participants in like the elite version at the same time were Jonathan Coulton and Pollen Storm. And there was one part of this competition where Pollen Storm had to write a song in the style of Jonathan Coulton, and Jonathan Coulton had to write a song in the style of Pollen Storm. And Jonathan Coulton made some joke like, it'll be so much easier for them because at the end of the day, they get to try to write a Jonathan Coulton song. Like, his point was, they can win because the Jonathan Coulton song is so much better sounding. It was just like some fun trash talking. This, you will not agree with this as a fan of baseball, but the hard thing these movies have going for them is they have to make baseball interesting.
Ouch. Ouch. I mean...
It was a long walk.
Yes, no. Well, I mean, it's always the same length as to first base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the trouble with sports movies in general. But
yes, also 100% true. It's the problem with sports movies. Like it honestly, the thing that sports movies need is to have the drama not be related to the sports.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's the backdrop, right? It's the setting, and I think that's tricky. Is like the balance between how much time do you spend on baseball and how much time do you spend on the plot of the movie that you're trying to tell. I think. Is a big challenge, and some manage to handle it better than others. Like, I know, for example, it's not on the list this year because we've both seen it, but League of Their Own, I think a truly great movie, and it is 100%. Definitely about baseball, but it is also, more importantly, about the characters in that.
You name a movie with Tom Hanks and John Lovitz that isn't good. Can't be done.
Tom Hanks and John Lovitz? How many movies are there with the two of them?
That's a great question for somebody
else. Is it just that one? 100% of the time. All right. We are wrapping up for this week. We'll be back next time to watch Everybody Wants Some. And yeah, until then, keep watching the Sox.
Hey, look at that. That's pretty good.
Smooth.
They were both also in the movie Big.
John Lovitz was in Big? God, I haven't seen a movie in so long.
He works at the same office in the, like, he's got the cubicle next to Tom Hanks when Tom Hanks is the low-level employee at the toy company.
I haven't seen that movie maybe since it was, I saw it in the theater. Pretty sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm old.
And Big.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members